to see the dawn of the darkest day. Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin, every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. Now the daylight flees, now ground beneath quakes as its maker bows his head, curtain torn in two, dead are raised to life, finished the took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through death is crushed to death, life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. This the power of the cross. Son of God, the cross. What a love, what a cost, we stand forgiven at the cross. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, in all. Here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought by the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. Till he returns calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand.
Hallelujah! Jesus is coming soon, and we need to look up, for our redemption is drawing nigh. This has been said 2,000 years ago by the Apostle Paul. Those that look for my appearing, to them will I return the second time without sin unto salvation. Today I'm going to teach on an interesting subject called Romans chapter 13. I've listened to a few pastors on the internet, and I noticed that they did not really study the scripture the way they were explaining them. So I will explain them today on how God wants us to see that. The Apostle Paul, in his actions, tried to convey to us how we should view these scriptures. But before I get into that, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in these days. In the 1990s, I was a truck driver, and I was getting cassette tapes that I was listening to. And the stuff that we're seeing right now, I listened to 20, 30 years ago, almost to the T of how the elitists, the Bilderbergers, the Rothschilds, all these guys, those who have all the money, how they're going to try to bring in a global economy, a one-world government. And in those days, as I was listening to, it was getting very depressing. But what those guys did not understand, or maybe they did, was that God is in control. Nobody brings in a one-world government, and unless Jesus goes to one that sits on the throne and takes the scroll from his hands, and then he opens the seal, because that's when the tribulation begins. That's when the 7 years of horror starts. It's not going to start until then. Whatever they're trying to do is going to be pushed back. Hitler tried to bring in a one-world government. He was pushed back. Now these guys are trying to bring in a one-world government, and it's going to be pushed back. What we're seeing in the States already starting to being openly shown, the horrible fraud, the incredible fraud that has gone on, is starting to come out into the open, and people are going to see some interesting stuff being proven, being brought to the front. The pedophilia, the child sacrificing, the child molesting, that's all going to be shown. And the corruption of these people is going to be shouted from the rooftops. I was studying this on, I think it was Perry Stone, who had a vision. God was showing him this, shouting from the rooftops. Perry Stone had a vision. He saw all those little dishes that you see on every roof, where the truth will be brought to the people. And we're already seeing it right now through the internet, through social media. Unbelievable things are being shown. So what is the child of God to do? We need to be at peace. We need to have patience, for God is in control. And from one of my favorite prophets, he has said, in the spiritual realm, this thing is won already. All it has to do is being played out in the natural. And that man hasn't been wrong for the last 25 years. He has about 400,000 to 500,000 prayer warriors that he is surrounded with. And God is listening. The ones holding back are holding back. And until they're taken out of the way, the Antichrist cannot appear on the scene. So this is my introduction to what we, to this message and to what we're going to see. God is not mocked. The peoples of this world have been duped by the governments of this world through fraud, through manipulation, through bringing in their damnable ideas that are destroying civilizations. God is going to deal with them. He's going to bring it to the front. He's going to let the average person see the incredible corruption. And the reason is this. God wants us to understand he means business. The written word of God is true, and he wants to get our attention. The church has been asleep at the wheel for far too long, and they need to start opening up their ears to what is going on in the kingdom and to what he has written in his word. So open your hearts. Be at peace if you love God. If you don't know God yet, get to know him. For we are going to see some interesting times. So today I'm going to be teaching on Romans chapter 13. Very interesting scripture. But before we get into it, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you'll open our hearts to the truth of the signs of the times. You will open up people's ears so that they will see. You'll get them interested in your word so they can know what's coming. Lord God, you will bring us prophets. You're going to bring us apostles so that we can be directed in these last days. So thank you, Jesus, for your grace. I ask you to anoint this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 13. I listened to a few pastors and I was thinking, guys, you need to listen to the voice of God. You need to keep things in context. When a rogue government comes in, what do? I'll read you the scriptures in Romans chapter 13 in verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinances of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So the powers that are ordained of God, we should be in subject to. So who is now the governments that we see now in America, especially in New York, here in Manitoba? Who has ordained this? Was it God? I'll give you a few interesting examples. I was listening to Wilhelm Brandt. Whoever knows him will know what I'm talking about. He was in prison for preaching the gospel. He was there for 14 years. When this government, I think of Romania, was a Russian satellite government, and they were bringing the pastors of their time together and saying, you have to follow our rules, we'll take care of you, and we will make sure that you're treated right. And the pastor, one by one, capitulated, just like the Steinbeck pastors. They signed their signature to this thing they passed around. And then Wilhelm Brandt's wife said to her husband, are you going to wipe the spit off Jesus' face? And he said to her, do you want a husband? And she said, my husband, if you're my husband and you don't wipe that spit off his face, I don't want you as a husband. Well, he said, get prepared. You're not going to have one. And he got up and he set the record straight and he spent the next 14 years in prison. So how many pastors, by staying silent, are spitting in the face of Jesus all over North America today? That's the question only God knows, and he has their number. Be sure he has their number. Now we need to understand, we should be in subject to the powers that God ordained. I'm going to give you a little bit of a foretaste or something that will give you an idea what I'm going to say or preach about. In Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. Women, submit yourselves. But there is a condition to that. What's the condition? The condition is this. Husbands, love your wives. That's the condition of submitting to your husband. If the husband will beat his wife up, is she in subject to that law? No, she is not. There's this one pastor who said that if a woman would be in subject to her own husband, even if he kills her, she honors God the most. What an idiot. That guy should be in a psychiatric hospital, in a mental institution. I'm telling you, he needs to step down from the pulpit if he's still on there. But that's how people are. They simply read scripture. That's what it means. They don't test it out with the Spirit. And then they blabber that stuff to the rest of the people. And the people don't bother to check them out. Now listen to this. Romans chapter 13 in verse 3. It says in the first chapter, be subject to the powers that are ordained by God. Were the Russian rulers ordained by God? No, they weren't. They came in through fraud. They came in through killing thousands of people. They came in through manipulation. Okay, the governments that we have now here in Canada and in the States, look what's going on. For rulers are not a terror to good works. People are going to church today. Is that good works? Yes. But what is the government saying? That's against the law. And people are paying heavy fines for that if they're dumb enough to do it. So we can see already there's something wrong here. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Okay, we're going to church. Do we have the praise of the government? Absolutely not. Why? Because they're in there somehow by fraud. They're being manipulated. They're being either bought or they're being put to the test, or they're out there. The government is giving them a hard time. So they just capitulate. We're going to do as you say. And here's what we're seeing. All over, people are afraid. They are so scared, they're afraid to get out of their houses. Listen to this. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Our government, I'll take our government here as an example. Mr. What's his name? Palliser. Is he a government for good? He's shutting down everything he can think of. Except the liquor stores, except the abortion clinics. You can't go to the hospital with a problem because it's supposed to be overcrowded with COVID-19 patients. Even that's a lie because they went there to check it out. So you can't go to the hospital for, let's say, a cancer checkup or for something like that. But abortion, that's essential. You need one right now. Don't wait. Come today if you need an abortion. So you can see how they're operating. I just watched yesterday in California, strip joints are open. They're essential, but churches are being shut down. And our people are doing the same here, our governments. So it says, for he is a minister of thee for good. For if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. It's the criminal that gets away these days with all the stuff he's doing. It's the good people that are being penalized. For he beareth not the sword in vain. I know one guy that's going to do that. That's the Antichrist. And he's going to kill off Christians by the millions because they will then have no protection from God. God is not mocked. What the world sows, they shall also reap. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. Does it look like that our government, that's the federal government, our Manitoba government, are they ministers of God? Watch them a little bit, and you will see clearly they do not fit the bill. They are ministers of Satan, and they clearly proclaim it. Should we be subject to them? Let's see what the Apostle Paul does. Very interesting how the Apostle Paul operates. Many, many people have asked me, how do you pray for a rogue government? What on earth do you pray for them? That God will bless them and all that stuff? No, I'll explain to you how we need to pray for a rogue government. 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 14. The Apostle Paul is saying this. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. So what is he saying? Bless the coppersmith. Do good unto him, Lord. Raise him up so that he'll have many children and he'll be blessed throughout his life. No. The coppersmith did me much evil, so Lord, reward him with evil. Reward him according to his works. Reward him with evil. The Apostle Paul wrote Romans chapter 13. Did he follow the law? If you would look at it like that, did he follow the law? No, he was thrown into prison for preaching the gospel. He was thrown into prison for doing good. He actually lost his life for preaching the gospel. So he was not following the rogue government of his day. He was defying it. And then I'll show you something very interesting on how to pray and decree. We have to remember, we are God's priests, and we're also God's kings. What does a priest do? He prays and intercedes for people. He asks God for mercy for people so that they will come to see the truth. That's our priestly part. What's our kingly part? We decree laws and regulations. We decree judgment on things. And I right now decree judgment upon our federal government and upon our provincial government that God will take them out. We decree their demise. They will be destroyed. So we decree that as God's kings. And we pray that somehow God will show them the error of their ways. We ask for mercy too. That people will wake up to what is going on. They've been asleep at the wheel. The abortion clinics have been doing brisk business because of God's people playing church. That's the problem. They need to get out of those pews and out of those pulpits and start speaking up of what the wrongs are happening. Dietrich Bonhoeffer in Germany, when Hitler said to him, "Oh, listen to me, I'll help you." And he said, "No, I'm against you, Hitler." And he got strung up for it. He got the gallows. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "To remain silent in the face of evil is evil itself." This is why I said, how many people, how many pastors have been spitting Jesus in the face since this stuff has been going on? They remain silent, they capitulate, they simply stand back. Am I telling you to go out and start a ruckus? You do it if Jesus tells you to, if you've got a plan. Don't try to be a lone ranger. Seek the face of God, and God will direct you. It tells us in Acts chapter 13, I'll show you how the Apostle Paul operated with somebody that was standing in his way. That'll give you a good idea how to deal with him. Then the Apostle Paul, he was preaching and ministering to a guy by the name of Paulus, a governor. And there was this demon-possessed person trying to steer Paul away from him. And then Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now listen to this. Here's how you pray for somebody who stands against him. Filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee." He decreed something. "The hand of the Lord is upon thee. Thou shalt be blind, not seeing for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went out seeking somebody to lead him by the hand. Paul didn't say, "Oh, you poor thing, you're misguided little. I'm going to tell you something here. You need to soften up. You need to be gentle." No, he said, "You child of the devil, you son of you are a person that is perverted. You're going to be blind." because you don't want the truth. And this is how we have to start showing tough love to those who are against the gospel, to those who are mocking us. Decree the power of God over them. A lot of those people have underlying devils that are pushing them and bringing them to those stages. But God has given us, the church, if we would pay attention, the power to combat that. And if we don't start doing it, we're going to miss the whole thing. So God is saying to the church, it's time to wake up. It's time to step into your places. Become priests and kings for your God's sake, because he has placed us here to be stewards of this planet and not to lie down and let the world step over us. We can pray. We can decree. We fight not against flesh and blood. We fight in the spirit realm. And God is going to give us the power if we dare to step out. He has already given it to us. But if we don't step out and take it, how can he help us? We need to rise up. We need to wake out of our sleep. Take the gifts that God has given us. Take the power. Take the authority. And start bringing righteousness into this nation. And once that happens, God will open your eyes to where, to what heights you can go. So we need to open our eyes to that. God is not mocked. What this world is sowing, it will reap. But the church, he says, they are mine. They are my chosen ones. I have redeemed them. Nobody touches them. Because if they do, they're in for some big surprise. And I have to say this. Before, this is just a dry run. God is showing us that these things are surely going to come to pass that are written in the Word. He's showing us how close we can come to that point. He's going to pull it back. He's going to destroy the enemy's planes. But he wants us to know it's coming, and we better be ready for it. How does a Christian get ready? By coming to know the Lord, by looking for his appearing, because it'll happen one day, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed. Then we shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. We're priests and kings here because God has ordained us. We, at the same time as watching for our God to return, we need to be good stewards of this planet. We need to take charge. So open your heart to this, for God is going to open your eyes to things that you never thought possible. He's shown them to me. I see it. The things that I'm seeing right now happening, it's like me watching a football game playing out. I know the score already. I'm just watching it play out. So in the next couple of weeks, be alert. Things are really going to hit the fan. So open your heart to it. Pay attention and let God bring it forth. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you with this and make you a blessing to those around you. Amen.